John 14, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's read it together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Though where I am, there ye may be also. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful promise. Surely there must be something better than this world. Logic tells us that, but most importantly, the scriptures tell us that. A land of everlasting joy and goodness awaits for every believer. Thank you for this promise, and thank you for all the places in the Bible you remind us that there is a heaven. Now help us as we preach on this and teach on this. Holy Spirit, make it real, make it clear and vivid in our minds of what you're trying to say to us about heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I'm going to talk about heaven this morning. Isn't that great? I could talk about hell, but I'm going to talk about heaven. Next time I'm going to preach, I'm going to talk about hell, by the way. We do talk about some of those subjects here because they're in the Bible. But praise God, heaven's in the Bible too. It really is. And there's actually quite a bit about it, and there's quite a bit that's not said about it. Because even if it was said, you wouldn't be able to take it in. A Barnum poll in 2003 in the Los Angeles Times came out and said that 76% of Americans believed in heaven. 76% of... Hey, if you ever go to a funeral, that's pretty evident, isn't it? No matter how wicked they lived, we know they went to a better place. That's what they always say, isn't it? But that isn't exactly what Jesus had to say about it sometimes. But most people are not as looking forward to heaven as much as we should. And that's hard to believe, but we're so sometimes focused down here that we don't look to heaven as much as we should. A preacher was preaching on heaven one time, and he asked the audience, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand except a little boy in the front row. And after the service, the preacher got next to the little boy and says, I thought, don't you want to go to heaven? And the little boy said, yeah, I want to go to heaven. And he said, we didn't raise your hand. He says, I thought you meant right now. That's the way a lot of people live, isn't it? They want to go to heaven, but not right now because they're having such a good time down here. Well, the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people not having such a good time down here. Life is not easy. This is not heaven, in case you didn't realize it. This is not heaven down here. A lot of people try to build their heaven in this world, but it's not the best place to do it because it's not heaven. But Jesus did talk about heaven. He did say, by the way, that most people are not going to heaven. That's not necessarily good news, but it's reality. Jesus said, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He also said this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done wonderful works. And then he said, I will have to say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That same poll that I read earlier also said that 50% of the people who believe that they're going to heaven believe that it's not necessary to trust in Christ to go to heaven. You can trust in Buddha. You can trust in your way or my way or whatever, they think there's many ways to heaven. Unfortunately, the scriptures are clear on this, that Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. There's none other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved than through Jesus Christ. Say, that's a narrow way. Yes, it is narrow. Jesus is the only one who's qualified to pay our sin debt. You could die for me, and that'd be a nice gesture, but I'm sorry, it wouldn't do me much good as far as my sin debt's concerned. Only one person qualified to pay our sin debt, that was Jesus Christ. He's the only one that lived a perfect life, and he had the credentials to prove it. and we have the record of it, the only the historical record of that proof. But heaven is hard to understand. It's kind of like a painting, which I've never seen, but I read about. This artist painted this scene of two babies that were in the womb, two twins in the womb, and they were having a conversation, and they were telling each other what this life was going to be all like. You know, this one said, "I think this life is, when we get born, it's going to be like this and like this and like this." The other one said, "No, I think it's going to be like this." Well, actually, they didn't have the foggiest notion of what this life was going to be like. Why? Because they didn't have the capacity to understand it. They'd never been here. And after they were born, of course, it was a lot different than they thought. It's kind of like that way about heaven. There's no way that we could possibly, God could possibly describe to you what heaven's really like. And he's really kept it a secret. What he has said about it, you have to accept by faith, just like getting saved. You don't get saved by doing good things. You get saved by trusting in Christ, who died for your sins and paid your sin debt. That's how you get saved. That's how you become a Christian. And so the Bible does have some things to say about heaven, and I'm just going to point out a number of these things. In fact, there's more than I thought there was. As you get into studying this, it's kind of amazing. The first thing I want to talk about heaven is it's a place of comfort. It's a place of comfort. You know, life is hard. Life is not easy. Those of us who have lived a number of years, we look back on our life and we can say, in fact, Jacob looked back on his life when he was 120 years old, and he said, life has been tough. He summed up his entire life. He said, life has been difficult. I'm paraphrasing it, of course. But that's what he said. Life has been difficult. God greatly blessed the man, but life has been difficult. And so after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told them the curses that would be upon on the earth to try to drive man back to God. He said that in childbirth, women would have pain. He said that thorns and thistles he would raise up in the earth. He would curse the earth so that it would be difficult to make a living. By the sweat of man's brow, he would live. And so life is hard. Jesus said he could make it a little easier. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." But if you notice in those verses I just read, he talked about a yoke and he talked about burden. What's a yoke? Yoke is one of those things I think they put around oxen, and the oxen would pull the load. That's hard work. Jesus said, "I'll make your life easier, but it's still a burden down here. You're still going to have to work hard. Life is hard." Therefore, Jesus said, heaven will be a place of comfort. Luke 16:25, it says this. Remember the rich man, Josh preached about this just recently. The Lazarus died, and the rich man died. The rich man woke up in hell, and Lazarus, it says, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And he said this, Abraham said this, excuse me, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things," because he was a beggar and he had sores all over his body. But he said, "But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." Heaven is a place of comfort. And we're going to need to be comforted in heaven. Thank God the war is going to be over. That's one of the things that's going to be wonderful about heaven, is the fact that the war is over. And we'll need to have some comforting, because we'll have some scars. If you've been down here very long and been involved in the warfare of spiritual warfare, you know that life, this warfare is not for sissies. It's difficult. And we're going to have some comfort after the war is over. There's also going to have to be some comfort because of regrets over maybe wasted days, months, and years of our life. And we'll have to be comforted about that. You know, I think that's one of the things that reality is going to set in. As soon as we get to heaven, one of the first things we're going to realize is, wow, this was real. I wish I'd have worked a little harder down there for the Lord. And then, of course, we're going to have some regrets, I think, over loved ones that we're never going to see again. Friends and loved ones we'll never, ever see again, because they're not here. They're not there. People we think are going to be there, some are not going to be there. Some we didn't think were going to be there are going to be there. But I'm sure amongst all of our acquaintances there are going to be some people that are not going to be there. And you'll never see them again. So there'll need to be some comfort. So it says that Lazarus was comforted in heaven by Abraham and by the Lord. Heaven is also going to be a place of rest. It says that if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. That's in Hebrews. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Isn't rest a wonderful thing if you've worked hard all day? And the Bible says the rest of a rich man will not suffer. The riches of a rich man will not suffer him to sleep, not allow him to sleep. But the sleep of a laboring man is sweet because he's worked hard and he sleeps well. And so we know that heaven is going to be a place of rest, and we're going to need some rest there. But we won't just rest. But thank God it is a place of rest, a place of eternal rest. No more wars, no more conflicts. Think about this, the contrast of that from this world we live in today. People are fearful now. Economically, a lot of people have lost a lot of money. You look at the Middle East, you look at North Korea, you look at China, you look at the world, you look at Russia. Things are not looking too good. The Bible says it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And just when you couldn't think it'd get any worse, it's going to get worse. But praise God, Jesus Christ is coming for the church. We'll not have to go through the great tribulation, but there's a day coming, a great tribulation coming. And so there'll be a need of rest, and so heaven is to be a place of rest. It'll also be a place of safety from evil and accidents and diseases. Place of safety. Abraham went on to say, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that you cannot come over here and we cannot come over you. The rich man couldn't come over to where Lazarus was, and Lazarus couldn't go over to where the rich man was. A great gulf fixed. Thank God in heaven there's a great gulf fixed that'll ensure our safety from going out and from being involved in the struggles and stuff that we had in the past. It says this in Revelation. For without, talking about the city of God, without the city are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters who loveth and maketh a lie. This is just another way of saying that in heaven we will not be subject to those kind of influences again anymore. Now, believe it or not, evil will exist forever, but it'll be contained in a place called hell. And that'll be totally separate from heaven. No chance of going back and forth between the two. So it's a place of evil, a place of safety from evil and accidents and diseases. Isn't it? You know, it's so tragic that in this world there's diseases just seem to hit people randomly without any purpose, or, you know, it's just kind of a chance type thing. And some people that are perfectly healthy today, and then tomorrow they're stricken with some terrible disease. You say, well, how could God allow that? Well, God isn't the one that allowed it. Sin allowed it. Sin is the reason we have disease and degradation and heartache and troubles and anxiousness and pain and all that kind of stuff. It's because of sin. People sometimes don't connect that. How about freak accidents? Won't be any freak accidents in heaven. Over the years, I had a number of customers, and one of the things that was kind of alarming a little bit sometimes I had a customer for many, many years. And I remember in St. Mary's, I had a customer there for many years, and I went to this customer one day and I said, well, where's so-and-so? And his wife said, I'm sorry, he's dead. What happened? Oh, he said he was in the excavation business. They had this big hole dug, and he was down the hole somehow, and then it caved in on him. Just buried him alive. Gone. He was a Christian lady, by the way. She was a Christian lady. She was the head of the bank there in St. Mary's. Her husband just died. I knew him well. Gone. Totally gone. Had another customer in the same city. Been serving for years. Went there one day, and she said, haven't you heard? I said, no, I haven't heard. What? She always said, my husband was killed on a motorcycle out of Coeur d'Alene Tribe's casino. Last week, killed in a motorcycle accident. Those kind of things happen all the time in the world. It's always somebody else, right? But when it happens close to home, it makes us realize that this isn't heaven. We have accidents here. We have diseases here. We have problems. And disease is no respecter of persons. Also, heaven is going to be a place of great reception. Luke 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. the rich man also died and was buried. Notice the contrast there? Lazarus was died. The angels came and swooped him up, took him into the presence of God. The rich man died. He just woke up in hell. But there was an entourage here that carried Lazarus right into the portals of heaven. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So precious, in fact, that God gives you an angel. Angels escort you into heaven. You say, well, that's just a figure of speech. No, it isn't a figure of speech. Angels are busy. They're God's ministers. They have duties. And one of their duties is when you die as a saint, as a child of God, they take you straight into the presence of God. And oh, by the way, there's a reception to get to heaven, too. Now, Jeanette already knows that. She's already experienced that, and someday you'll experience that. If you're saved, you'll experience that. This isn't just in the Scripture for coloring the picture a little bit. This is reality. They were carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and there's going to be a great reception in heaven. Every time a soul of God is dies, they go straight to heaven. And there's a great reception there. And when you die and get to heaven, you're going to have reception for those that are coming up. So that's just reality here. And it's a great reality that we need to look forward to. Just the reception alone is going to be worth what? Well, can you put a price tag on that? How about somebody that's been away for maybe 20 or 30 years? You haven't seen somebody 20, 30 years, and you really like that person or you love that person, and all of a sudden you have a reception. You unexpectedly you're able to meet that person. That happened to me about 3 weeks ago when I got a hold of Tom Holsforth and talked to him for years. And got to talk with him, and it was just a wonderful time. I didn't get to see him face to face, but just talking to him, one of my dearest friends in the ministry, it was a great time. Think about heaven, the place of great reception. It's also a great place of God's presence. Revelation says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's emphasized in the Greek. God himself shall be with them and be their God. We know as Christians, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That's a reality. We are saved. That's what born again is all about. The Holy Spirit moves in. But in heaven, God himself is going to be there face to face. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, you've heard this scripture before, and I think it fits very adequately here. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also known. I'm sure you've had the experience of having to get out into a car in the wintertime and having your windows all glazed over with ice and fog and everything else, and sometimes you're in a great hurry. You say, well, I'll just let it defrost itself as I drive. And so here I am trying to drive out of a pinhole like that. And I don't recommend you do that, but I have done that a number of times. We see through a glass darkly now, but then we will see face to face. God Almighty, we will see God Almighty face to face. He does have a face, you know. Jesus Christ is the face of God. We will see Jesus Christ face to face. It's also a place free from sin. You say, well, I know that. That's obvious. Well, let's think about that for a minute. No more lust of the flesh, no more lust of the eyes, no more pride of life. He will be free from the defilement of sin. This world, everything in this world that we detest, everything in this world that makes us uncomfortable, that produces pain and sorrow, is a result of sin. As I tell the soul winning class, the Bible is the only book in the world that deals with sin. The only book. Show me another book that deals with sin. Anywhere. Not the Quran, not the JW Bible, not the Mormon Bible. The Bible that's been here since 1611, the King James Bible, is very clear on sin. It's a place free from the pangs and the penalties and the agonies of sin. That alone would make heaven wonderful. That alone would make it worthwhile. It's also a place where the curse of sin is no more. Revelation 22:3 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." We don't realize, because we live so close to the curse, what a terrible thing the curse is, the curse of sin. We wouldn't know what it was like not to live under, but Adam and Eve did at one time. They knew what it was like before the fall. They knew exactly what it was like. And by the way, I think the Garden of Eden would be, before the fall, would have been heaven to us. Think how wonderful the Garden of Eden was before the fall. Before all the thorns and the thistles, and before all the pain and suffering, before old age set in and all that kind of stuff, Garden of Eden was like a heaven. And yet it wasn't heaven. There's something better coming ahead. All bad things are a result of sin. It says in Revelation, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Praise God. No more tears. We've all shed a bucket of tears over time, over this thing and that thing, and you'll shed some more tears before you get out of this world, because this world has things that happen in it that causes us to cry. Sometimes cry loudly and painfully. Tears, no more tears in heaven. No more funerals in heaven. I really enjoyed going to Jeanette's funeral. It was like graduation. It was uplifting. I mean, it was sad, but at the same time, it was really uplifting. I enjoyed that funeral a lot in that sense. And that song, like I said, it took me a week to get over that song that was sung there, and that was Jeanette just sang a few minutes ago. But no more funerals. You know, the funny thing I've found is the older I get, the more funerals I'm going to. All my friends are going, they're dying off. My mother's 93, and she said, I've said this before, my nanny, she'll be 93 in March. She says, "I don't have any more friends anymore. All of them, they're all dead. They're all dead, gone to heaven." Not all of them gone to heaven, but in our family, praise God, most of our family's Christians, so most of them gone to heaven. But no more funerals. No more funerals. No sorrow. No more sorrow. Nor crying. Nor pain. Pain is a debilitating thing. There are people in this audience right now who live in pain every day. I've had periods of my life when I've had hurt something in my body, you know, and it's painful, and it doesn't go away right away. And the older you get, the longer it takes to get away. But it's painful. There's a lot of things that are painful in this life. Say, well, if there hadn't been any sin, would there not be? No, there wouldn't be any pain. All pain comes from sin, especially in the disease realm. Heaven is also going to be a place of wonderful fellowship. Wonderful fellowship. What's the worst thing that can happen to you if you go to prison? Solitary confinement. They put you in solitary confinement. You sit there and look at four walls 24 hours a day. Every day, day after day after day, you look at walls. You talk to nobody, except maybe somebody that throws some food into you. Whatever. Solitary confinement is a terrible thing. Heaven's going to be a place of wonderful fellowship. It says in Revelation, "He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Why would God call heaven a great city? Because it is going to be a great city. What do you do in a city? You have neighbors. This city is going to be 1,500 miles square, a cube. And it's a city because the most pleasant thing in this world is conversing with people that you love and care about. Now, Don may not agree with me on this, but if Don could play golf 24 hours a day, every day of the year, I think he'd get tired of it eventually.